The number crunching he does will not be anywhere near as impressive as what Dave Bartu does with College Football Matrix. He has joined us in the zone before. He is back today on the Revolution Hotline. Dave, good to have you back. How are you this morning?
Oh, man, it's great to be back. This is a wonderful way to kick off my Friday morning. And on top of that, you want to talk about some good news? Right before I went on, my full segment sponsored by the Gene Chizik School of Denial. All classes, $400 cash online while I'm on the air.
Very good. I like it. Very nice. NFL draft is next week, and I found some interesting information that you're putting out about quarterbacks, and certainly that's the position everybody looks to. This may not be the best quarterback class, but certainly someone is going to end up on a roster and stick. It may be somebody we think is a little more unlikely. We all obviously are paying close attention to where Tyler Wilson lands and don't think that he'll necessarily be drafted day one, but it certainly would be nice to see him land somewhere and stick around for an extended period of time.
Yeah, well, he amongst all the guys there, you know, when you look at the numbers in terms of quarterbacks that have been successful and busted since 2004, he fits the profile of a guy that from the result of the Hogs last year, he fits the profile of a guy that's going to bust 80% of the time. But this is also the guy that led their team 2 years ago to such a great season, and I think, you know, with everything that's gone on in Hog football over the last 18 months, if there's one guy that, by the numbers, I have a very difficult time putting my finger on, it's him, because he's not out of the elite school. You know, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USCs, those guys fail over 80% of the time. He's led a team to a season that was performing above their talent. Those guys are very successful in the NFL, so... you know, he's a really intriguing prospect, but the numbers do say that he's going to get a clipboard somewhere. He's going to get a playbook and get an opportunity to throw the football.
I love, Dave, I love your site, and I love the way that you break down and use stats to define, because I promise you, what Dave does is going to be right 90% of the time. You're going to have the occasional outlier that jumps up and is a success that you couldn't have predicted. But statistically, you can lay out a graph and know where a guy's headed. You talk about Tyler Wilson, and there are some variables that you can't define, and you just alluded to that. You got a coach totally upside down. The program becomes upside down. You can't just look at the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
Define when you talk about quarterbacks drafted after a negative coaching effect on the season. What exactly is that? What are some of the definitions that you use for your statistics?
Well, the negative coaching effect is essentially a team that is expected or does perform below the level of their talent and schedule. Okay, mm-hmm. So for example, we got a great example in your backyard with mm-hmm. Hogs. Petrino had the biggest coaching effect in the SEC. His coaching effect per year was 2.5 games. So essentially, while he was there, his team performed 2.5 games per year above mm-hmm. the talent and schedule expectations. You know, so if they were mm-hmm. predicted at, you know, 8 wins every right. single year, they were essentially getting 10.5 wins yep. every single yep. year. So, yep. you know, he was leading a team that was outperforming its talent and schedule. On the flip side, you had John L. Smith, when he was at Michigan State, he was a -1 game effect coach in his 4 years.
Of course he was.
A vast
of course he was. Well, I came right on the show and explained this last year and saying, hey, Petrino's gone. You bring in Smith. You have Petrino's history out. There goes 2 games. You have Smith history's coming in. There's -1 game. That's a 3-game swing right there. This is a 6-6 team with Smith and not Petrino. And I've always laid the blame or given the credit to the coaching staff because there is nowhere else to put it.
Right. I'm actually glad that Arkansas didn't win 3.5 more games, though, because I would have hated to feign interest in some crappy bowl game last
right.
year.
Right. Well, you realize,
well,
too.
Yeah, you know, the glass half full, glass half empty. You know, look where you're at now. Look what kind of coach you got now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do point out when John L. Smith took the job at Fort Collins, because of his defense,
sounds like a joke.
The Indians immediately began to plan an attack on Fort Collins, understanding that John L. Smith was in charge of its defense now.
Hey, you know, it's not his fault he sucks. You know,
well,
that's just the way it was.
But that's a great way to look at it. I'm glad you explained that a little bit for those of us that are a little slower, Justin.
Okay, yeah. So when you talk about guys with a negative coach effect, you're basically talking about every quarterback in this draft.
Yeah.
Is that right?
But pretty much. So, you know, you're looking at so Tyler Wilson. I'm looking at, okay, the coach effect that I assigned Smith from the last year was negative one game. That's where the team performed in relation to the expectations of their talent schedule. Mm-hmm. So Tyler Wilson was the leader also of a minus one coach effect team. Okay, now when you look at the numbers, since 2004, guys drafted into the NFL, 82% of them that were leading a negative coach effect team bust. So essentially is, if you can't lead a college football team,
right,
you can't lead an NFL team.
It's a great point. You look at this list, Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, the Bray kid from over Tennessee.
DJ Manuel, we talked about already at Florida State. I mean, they underachieved a little bit this year. Hey,
that's a great
but here's my thing. Good luck with any – I don't care if he puts Tom Brady on last year's Arkansas team. I don't think he probably does very well. So maybe a little unfair. Dave Bartu joining us, College Football Matrix. He's been on many times. We will talk more about the quarterback thing, but while it's on my head, we were talking about the impact and the positive impact, and you could not have said more good things about Bi Petrino as far as his coaching impact in the past. What's Brett Bielema's impact as far as the time he was at Wisconsin, and how do you think that's going to transition into the SEC?
Well, his impact at Wisconsin, he was about plus 1.5 games a year. Okay, he did get better over time in terms of it took a few years to get everything going and get it all sinking in to get his program. But he was never a net negative coach. You know, it was always at or above talent expectations. You know, so right there, you know, the first step in looking at Arkansas and you look at their talent and their schedule expectations versus the rest of the SEC, you know, you're looking at a 6-7 win team. And when you move forward, though, if he can become that plus one, he never had a plus two season. He wasn't like Bobby was in terms of just really amazing seasons. And people would go back and look at it and say, well, they had an amazing season last year. Yeah, but totally different conference. I mean, the SEC West, top to bottom, it's not even close. It is the toughest, best division in college football. And, you know, with Wisconsin and the Big Ten, the bottom half of it was basically a bad out-of-conference schedule. So try not to compare them because they're apples to oranges, but he was a very good coach there. It's going to take a few years to get, you know, if he follows the pattern like it was at Wisconsin, it'll take a few years to get the program into that 8, possible 9-win kind of season.
Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix, joining us. You can find out more at cfbmatrix.com and all kinds of interesting information on there for those of us who are college football fans. Another thing you look at is maybe some of the smaller school guys, whether it's non-AQ schools or FCS schools. We've looked a lot over the years about smaller school, high school quarterbacks trying to succeed at the college level, and that's certainly been a real struggle. There have certainly been a lot of small school quarterbacks and players who have moved on and played well in the NFL. When you look at those numbers, how can you translate maybe some small school guys and try to figure out what kind of success they're going to have in the NFL?
Well, I found it was really interesting. If you know, folks go on and read the articles, you'll see more in-depth information. But since 2004, there's been 8 guys drafted out of FCS. You know, Division II, and of the 8 guys, 5 of them are still in the league. Now, when you consider that the bust rate for being drafted into the NFL as a quarterback is 66%, yet more than half of these FCS guys are still sticking around, you know, it tells me that when you're in those late rounds, those 4, 5, 6, 7 rounds, you need to be looking for those diamonds in the rough. And, you know, with that kind of success rate, I think more NFL teams should be looking to an FCS program, because you look on the flip side, because usually that 6th round, that 7th round, that's also that non-AQ guy, you know, the Arkansas State guy, that kind of guy. That guy busts all the time. Now, over 90% of the time, a non-AQ guy drafted into the NFL since 2004 doesn't make it. You know, you're wasting money when you draft these non-AQ guys that late in the draft. So
if they're not good enough to go early, maybe just leave them be.
Yeah, exactly. If they have that first, second round talent,
Flacco's, your Ben Roethlisberger's,
Yeah,
the Roethlisberger's, your Kaepernick, your guys that were drafted early, sure, okay, but you got to remember, too, is Roethlisberger, big, he led a team with a huge coach effect. Kaepernick, plus six games coach effect. He was the leader of a team that way outperformed its talent. You know, so the pressure was there from day one, and that's I think that's a big reason why we see these quarterbacks at these elite programs fail so consistently. That's why E.J. Manuel and Matt Barkley drafting those guys is as good as just setting your owner's money on fire.
Wow. Good point.
I like that.
I like that. Well,
that's
kind
of a declarative statement.
That is. We have to end on that note. Dave, always good, and we'll catch up again maybe after the draft and get your thoughts on how things played out. But we appreciate the time always, and check out more at CFBMatrix.com. That's Dave Bartu on the Revolution Hotline. Dave, take care. Have a good weekend, man.
Thank you. You too, guys.
All right.